I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Hope you're having a great day, man. It's a beautiful day in the A. Got to give a shout out to Robert. I think he's back in his car now. Robert literally just passed by Buffalo's Cafe here off of Windy Bagwell Parkway and was like, came in. What's up, fellas? What's up, Robert? Okay, Robert, good talk. And Robert walked out. I was like, man, I saw the van. I just wanted to come say hello to you guys. But appreciate him stopping by. You guys can come hang out with this great food. Obviously, great wings here. We always have a good time out here at Buffalo's Cafe. Zeno is in for Mike today. And we got a bunch of other guests that are going to stop by, guys. We're going to talk to Chris Henderson, Chief Soccer Officer and Sporting Director for Atlanta United, in regards to them bringing back Tata. Barbara Dooley stops by at 4 o'clock. And also Mike Griffith to talk dogs a little bit later on in the show. If you missed Jalen Johnson from last hour, make sure you rewind on the Odyssey app and check it out. Hawks play Toronto tomorrow, and then the Lakers on Saturday. Going to be a fun weekend down at State Farm Arena. Last hour, by the way, was brought to you by Wise Guys Pro Wash. Let Wise Guys lights brighten your holidays. Zeno, I want to ask you about this before we get into some football conversation here in our 4th and 1 segment. And that is, what's the deal with this ESPN split and pin? I know you do a gambling show, and I know you do a lot of this around the country. What's your take on this? Because ESPN splits with Penn, but didn't they pay a lot of money to partner with them?
They did. They signed, but yeah, everybody has to understand, they signed a licensing deal. They didn't. They ran nothing of the sports books. They didn't set lines. They didn't set limits. They didn't offer promos. That wasn't ESPN offering those promos. That was Penn Gaming, who runs the sports book. It's really no different than a licensing deal to name a stadium. How poorly the team performs in that stadium isn't a reflection of the company name on top of it, right? Like, that's essentially what it boils down to. ESPN decided Penn Gaming is failing, and our name being attached to them is dragging us down. Let's get out of this business decision and go with a more prominent sports book. Why did ESPN do this, initially sign with Penn? Because as they launched ESPN Bet, they knew they had to be part of the betting space, obviously, as the worldwide leader. So you have to break into the market somewhere. You have to have some semblance of breaking into to get people to buy into ESPN Bet as a product and a place to go to get information and everything else. But also, you wanted to do it to generate revenue, as you were getting a share of whatever Penn was getting as far as the – a lot of other companies are doing the same things with DraftKings and FanDuel and BetMGM and Caesars. They buy into that when they get a revenue stake or whatever they handle, however much money they make off of the bets that they take from those promotions that they give out. So the business deal didn't work for ESPN, but the real loser here is not ESPN. It's Penn Gaming. This is now the second time that Penn Gaming has tied itself to a national brand, first in Barstool,
true,
now in ESPN. And both times it failed. And Barstool sold the rights to Penn Gaming for $1.
It was a joke. Right.
And that was a Dave Portnoy sort of look at me kind of deal more than anything else.
Sure.
But the point simply is, was that, like, even Barstool was losing money on it, which is why they got out. These aren't signs of bad business people. They're bad business decisions, what happens all the time to really rich people. Right? Not every Shark Tank guy who invests in a company, automatically it blows up. Sometimes they fail and they get out and they move on. You don't ever hear anything about it. This is a national thing where you are going to hear about it because ESPN launched the idea that they're now going to partner with DraftKings. Well, you can't just partner with DraftKings if you already have a deal with Penn Gaming. You have to cut it off publicly so everybody knows. But they got a better sports book. They got a more prominent sports book. They'll make more revenue off of this thing. But the real loser here, as much as people want to bag on ESPN, that's fine. ESPN is not the real loser here. It's Penn Gaming.
No, because they'll move on, and they will make money off of their partnership, their new partnership with DraftKings. But that is something that a lot of people around the sports world are talking about today. And I wanted to mention that. Also, we were mentioning the Braves guys and the payroll and the revenue. Braves today exercised the options on Chris Sale. We got the news before anybody about Ozzie, as Alex Anthopoulos dropped that news on us and said we will exercise Ozzie's option. But they did decline the options of right-handed pitcher Pierce Johnson and right-handed pitcher Tyler Kinley. They're going to save about $12 million by declining both of those options. Shortstop, as Alex told us 2 days ago, is still a priority, and they're, you know, they're looking at all their options right now. But he mentioned to us, shortstop was one of the things that he felt like he has to address, and I don't disagree.
I mean, here's the money issue, right? This is where it comes in. Bo Bichette's probably the number one shortstop on the market.
True,
just played in the World Series, right? If he is being bid on between the Yankees and you know, the Phillies, they don't need it, they have Trey Turner, but you get the point.
Yes.
The Yankees and the Red Sox, whoever else is out there, okay? And they offer, you know, Bo Bichette $10 more million a year than you do. You can be upset about that, the similar way that the Yankees didn't offer Juan Soto enough, right? They had the money. They just didn't offer him, regardless how ginormous and ridiculous the contract was. But the point simply is that, like, that you can get upset about. But that doesn't mean – that's not the same thing as spending in the top five. Like, losing out on a free agent that you have the means to get because of $5, $7, $10 million, that's a thing that you can complain about, right? Like, that is an understandable complaint from the fan base because you have the resources to do it. Match the offer, go a million above the offer, whatever it is to try to get him here. It's the reason why fans were upset that Freddie left, right? The Dodgers are willing to go one more year, okay, and pay him, you know, $8 million, $10 million more, whatever it was on the contract for one more year. I understand Braves fans being upset about that because you had the resources to keep him if you wanted him. That's a different conversation than we need to spend in the top five. Well, okay, spend in the top five. It doesn't mean you get it. Doesn't mean that you're going to win a World Series. So
no, but
that's
a
fair argument.
It does, but it does tell us, and through the – certainly the last, what, 15, 20 years, the teams that spend usually have a better shot. Statistically, we know this, at getting to the playoffs. For me, that's where I'm at. I'm not necessarily – I'm not trying to buy a World Series because I know it's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. We've seen lesser-tier teams and lesser-talented teams win World Series. But I do think that the goal should be for us to get to the playoffs. And I know we're spoiled as Braves fans because, well, we do that all the time. Well, we didn't this year. So if you're telling me you're putting a team together that has the likelihood of getting to the playoffs and you've spent the money accordingly, that's, as a fan, that's all I can ask. I can't ask him to go buy a World Series because that to me is unrealistic. But I think that is where, Mark, it gets jaded. There are people who think you can go buy a World Series by simply going to buy the two best pitchers, the best shortstop. Let's go get the best bullpen guy, go get the best closer available on the market, and we're going. It doesn't happen that way. So that becomes the argument. It is interesting, but they saved $12 million. And by the way, I think they're going to go back to Iglesias. I think they're going to keep Iglesias, by the way. I think they're going to pay him. And I know some people are like, I don't want him as a closer. I don't think that is something that they are looking at as a priority. I think they feel like he did a really good job at the end of the year, probably the last 2.5, 3 months of the season. We can run that back.
I don't like the comparison of closers to kickers, but, like, you're a good closer until you're not.
True.
Right?
Yep.
Everything is fine with the guy until it all falls off the rails and he can't get an out and he keeps blowing leads for you. And then you get into this awful cycle of who's my closer for the next 3 weeks until that person can't handle the job anymore. I mean, there is a very select few of kind of bona fide closers in this league. 5 or 6 of them are guys you just flat out trust, and you know they're gonna close 90% of their games. They'll blow 3 or 4 saves in a season, and that's it. Compared to 40, 50 saves, you know, that they have, those guys are rare and they're hard to find. But if Iglesias is the guy, I'm not saying it's an awful decision. Are there other options out there? Possibly. Do you want to test? Do you want to dance with the devil you know, or the one you don't? And if they say we're going to dance with the devil we know in Iglesias, then that's an organizational decision that we all have to trust that Alex is the right one.
When they went and got him, you guys, I don't know if you remember, we had, you know, it was like he was put in place to be the closer of the future. We actually had a couple of options at that time. And he's been really good for us. I mean, there are wobbles, but there are wobbles with all these closers. I just feel like the money saved may go to Iglesias. We're going to have to wait and see. Again, we're live, guys, at Buffalo's Cafe, Windy Bagway Parkway, Bagwell Parkway in Hiram, hanging out here until 6. We are going to talk some NFL. I do want to mention this story because it's just – it's sad, man. It's tragic. I don't know if anybody knows the reason, but Cowboys defensive end Marshawn Keelan died Thursday morning of an apparent self-inflicted gunshot. And the Cowboys put out a statement that he tragically passed away this morning. The story is out there. This happened in Frisco. The Frisco Police Department responded to assist the Texas Department of Public Safety with locating a vehicle that evaded troopers during a pursuit that ended up, you know, basically with this standoff, I believe. And ultimately, you know, when they found Keelan, he was gone. And 24 years old, talented. Played for the Cowboys, and I said to Day-Day, you know, we just saw him make a play the other night. They blocked a punt in that Cardinals game. He turns it into a touchdown, and you see that, and you think, man, these guys are, you know, they're living amazing. Everything's perfect. And I only say that to say we all have issues. And If you are even thinking about anything, seek help. I'm just telling you. And that goes for anybody. That nobody is above this. None of us are above the idea of, oh, I would never do that, or I would never even think about that. I don't know about you. I've had some really lows in my life. I had some really highs. And I'm just telling you, like, this just reminds me again that if you need help, please seek it. If you know somebody, please seek it. Because I don't think anybody, and he's around these other guys all the time, I don't know if anybody would have imagined that this was going to happen. So, Marshawn Keelan passing away, again, self-inflicted gunshot wound. More information will come out. They'll do an autopsy, and, you know, the investigation is on. But this is just really one of those situations where you go, huh? I just saw him playing the other night.
Scored a touchdown.
He was a second-round pick, by the way, out of Western Michigan in 2024, the 56th pick overall in the NFL. And on Monday, the Cowboys obviously lost to the Cardinals. It's a bye week for them. So guys are away from the facility, but they are already offering counseling for anybody who wants it.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Staff, players, etc. Just a very tragic situation. All right. We are going to turn the page and talk about our Falcons, who are on their way to Germany. And as they make their way there, I want your real assessment of Raheem Morris. No, I mean, really. We're going to get into this, you know, when we come back.
Like yesterday, I was supposed to yell at him and tell him he's an awful coach to his face and get mad at him and kick his chair? Is that what I was supposed to do yesterday?
Well, you can do that to me if you want to today.
Oh, okay. All right.
We'll come back. 404-726-0929. It's Dukes and Bell. Mark's in for Mike.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.